Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to another fellowship. And it's great to be alive and in love. And I was just really thinking today that it's quite easy to think that for us to live our best life, that we got to attain the goals of our dreams. But to be quite honest with you, we can live our best life every single day. And when we're in fellowship with the Father, when we're, you know, when we're walking by the Spirit, when we're living in that Spirit of God, then we can have our best day every day. And we can't live the future now, but we can live today now, because we're in that time right now. And I think sometimes when we think far ahead of what we want to achieve, and we're seeing that dream so far off, we can become discouraged. And we know that God is not the God of discouragement, but God is a God of encouragement. And when we live our life how we should live it, which is day by day, then, you know, we can have goals, we can have plans, and we can have, you know, the vision that God has given us, know that that's going to happen. But in the meantime, what do we do? What do we do when things are not going our way? You know, when it seems like our dreams are not going to happen, it seems like what God's called us to do is not going to happen. And I say seems, because it's always an illusion. The adversary always wants to bring in an illusion that you're not going to attain the things that God wants you to have. But God has set the vision, right? He's got a plan. He's got the purpose for your life. When we keep our eyes focused on God, then we can live victoriously every day. God wants us to really be blessed every day. He wants us to have that relationship with Him every day. But when we take our eyes off God, and we start looking at the circumstances, the situations, the problems, the obstacles, then that will really bring our faith low. So it's not that we have to attain our God-given dream or the things that we desire for us to live our best life. It's like we live our best life now, and we live it in the presence of God. We live it walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, that in His presence there's fullness of joy, at His right hand there's pleasures forevermore. I just looked at a few scriptures on rejoicing and joy, because, you know, God really wants us to rejoice. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And the word rejoice means to rejoice exceedingly. And if you think of all the great and precious promises that God has given us, and that we are filled and clothed with His Spirit, that we can truly have joy every day, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations. And the great thing in this Philippians 4, Paul said it twice. You know, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." He wanted the people that he was addressing, the Philippian church, to get what he was saying, and he didn't want them to forget it. And we truly can rejoice no matter what's going on. And our joy is an inside job. That joy of the Lord in our heart through the gift of Holy Spirit, through walking by that Spirit, we cultivate that, the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, which is an inside job. And I liked what Jeremiah 15:16 says. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." See, we're born again. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We have eternal life. We have direct access to God. We can really enjoy, you know, just having that knowing that God is with us and He's for us and He's never going to leave us or forsake us, that we're in relationship with Him. We are in right standing with God through what Jesus Christ accomplished. Then really we should have great joy, right? I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. I need to get there myself. And I was just thinking, you know, sometimes when I look at my circumstances and situations, I'm thinking, well, what is there to rejoice about? But that's just really the wrong mindset. That's coming from the old man, where we just look at what we see rather than say what we want. And we need to declare God's promises over our lives. And in Romans chapter 5, and we'll read it from verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," believing. We are justified by believing. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So like right now, that is something to rejoice in. That is something that we can live every day our best life before God, right? Because we know that we're saved. We know that we're righteous. We know that we're in right standing with God. And it's not through our effort or ability. It's through what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And verse 2 says, "By whom also we have access by believing into this grace," into the favour of God, "wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations," pressures, "also knowing that these pressures worketh patience. You might be going through a tough time right now in the senses realm, but that's not who you truly are in Christ. In Christ, you are righteous. You are justified. Okay, you are in right standing with the creators of the heavens and the earth. You can go to Him for your help. You can look to Him in every situation rather than focus on what you're going through. See, the emotions within inside ourselves in that old man nature can be very strong, and they can become strongholds in our life if we don't get the truth of the word in there of who we truly are. No, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not five senses, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the strongholds of depression, the strongholds of oppression. And when we're focused on our five senses and what's going on, then we miss the glory of God, right? We miss the blessings and the peace of God because our minds are in the wrong place. But we're in Christ. We are in Christ. If we're putting that word in our heart, that's the image that we have to have in our mind. That's the image that we have to carry. And if you're in a situation right now that's not favorable to you and things are working against you, get the image of the word in your heart and the truth of who the word of God says you are, and you claim those promises about what God says who you are, that you are righteous, that you are justified, that you are sanctified, that you are redeemed, that you are an overcomer, that you are more than a super conqueror, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world, that God, when you turn to God, will do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. That's what we can rejoice in. We rejoice in that the word of God is true, regardless of our situations. But if we're always pulled and moved by what we see, smell, taste and touch, then we're going to walk less than the abundant life that Jesus Christ come to make available to us. If you're going through these tough times, you've got to get the word in there. You have to get that word in your mind, in your heart, and you have to say that word. You have to declare the word, regardless of how you feel. It's not about how you feel, but the word of God is true, above your feelings, above your situations. And you can cast your cares to God. You can give it all those anxieties to God. It says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, it's through the prayer and supplication, being specific, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we rejoice. We rejoice because we know that our answers and our deliverance is coming. We know we're already victorious. We know that what we're going through is but for a moment, okay? But we know also that as we keep our minds fixed on God, then that is giving us a patience in verse 4, experience, and experience hope, an expectation. That hope is an expectation that what we're, the word of God says, and what we're giving confession to that word is going to come to pass. So I've taught already that, you know, faith is now. We believe we've already got the answers and the results according to the promises of God. And Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what he saith. And that's the confession of our faith. That's what we declare. We declare the promises of God. And this is where our rejoicing comes. We can rejoice now because we know we got the deliverance. We know the deliverance is coming. We know the answers is coming. The supply is coming, the healing's coming, the deliverance is coming. And verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, inside that gift of Holy Spirit is the faith of Jesus Christ, and also the love of God. It's shed abroad. But we have to put it on. If we're going to manifest it, we have to put it on. We decide to believe God. We decide to walk in that love of God. And we've looked at love and we've looked at hope. Sorry, we looked at faith and we looked at hope. Like, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that hope is a confident expectation that what God says we have now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And faith says that we have what God says we have, and we have it right now. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's quickly go there. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and it says, "And now abideth faith, believing, hope, a confident expectation, and charity." And this word charity is love, is referring to the love of God. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity," the love of God, "these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Out of all of those, that hope and faith, the greatest of all of it is the love of God. And that love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And when we put that on in our mind, and we determine to walk with God and allow Him to express His love through us to other people by being a blessing, then we're taking our minds off ourselves, off our situations. And love energizes faith. See, love energizes faith. When we're walking in fellowship with God, we are not offended. We're not offended because things are going wrong. We're not putting the blame on God. We're not putting the blame on anyone else. We can always tell if someone's walking by the senses or by the spirit. Someone that walks by the senses will hold resentment in their heart, will hold unforgiveness in their heart. You know, they point the finger, they pass the buck, they pass the blame. But the love of God doesn't do that. The love of God takes accountability and looks to serve and looks to give and looks to be a blessing. God really wants us to walk in love, and we know that the love of God never fails. Love never fails. So when we're walking in that love of God, when we got our minds lined up with the truth of who we are in Christ and what we have inside of us, then we can truly manifest that. Habakkuk is a great record. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom." Now listen to this carefully, I love this. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, even if those things are happening, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And I think that's amazing, because see, Habakkuk's going to rejoice and joy in the Lord, but he's not looking at the circumstances. It says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vine, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." Why? Because God will never fail us. God will never let us down. It doesn't matter what our circumstances say, our bank balance says, if our fellowships are overflowing with people or they're empty. It doesn't matter, because the most important thing is that we are walking with the Father and we're doing the things that He wants us to do. In fact, the royal law is that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And we're to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. So there we see, we're to love God. But we're to love ourselves next. It says, you love your neighbour as you love yourself. So how much you love yourself will reflect in how much you love the other person. If you love yourself little, it's because you're not loving God. You're not realising who you are in Christ. What God has done for you. What God has given you. God has given us this gift of Holy Spirit with the faith of Jesus Christ, with the love of God shed abroad within our being through that gift of Holy Spirit. And when we get our minds lined up with the truth of the Word, when we start walking by the Spirit of God, when we renew our minds to the truth by allowing God to work in us and doing those things that we know to do, being led by Him, then we really can start to manifest this love, manifest the faith that we need. But listen to verse 19 of Habakkuk 3. It says, "The Lord God is my strength." So I'm not to be my own strength, right? I'm not to do things out of my own flesh and my own effort. "The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet." That's also in Psalms, right? "And He will make me to walk upon mine hind places." Who's going to do it? God. When we're submitted to Him, when we're looking to Him, He's going to put your feet in the right places. He's going to make straight paths for your feet. And it says, "To the chief singer on my stringed instruments." Isaiah 61, if you like to go there, is another wonderful record. And I just thought this word, joy and rejoicing, was really good. I could have done a lot more scriptures, but tonight I just wanted to keep it really simple and just to emphasize a few points, and, you know, about the love of God is so powerful. And like I said, when you're walking in the love of God, no one can offend you. because you're not touched with the things of this world. You're not looking at someone's attitude or action, but you're knowing who you are in Christ. You're keeping yourself lined up with the Father, and you can walk in love. You can see if someone's walking in their senses, they need your love. They need your encouragement, right? And so we don't have to Bowbury anyone. We don't have to retaliate to anyone. And we don't have to withdraw from anyone either, because if we withdraw from people, how can we be a witness? But we're to be examples. You know, we're to be examples of the love of God. We're to be examples of faith. And we're to, you know, help people walk the walk until they see who they really are in Christ. Some people, you know, there's been times in my life where I've been off the ball, but people have been so loving and walking in the love of God, they've encouraged me back to see where my error is so that I can walk in alignment with the Father again and I can be a blessing. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful. So he's determined to rejoice in the Lord, and he's determined that his soul, that his will, mind and emotions is going to be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. What a powerful record. God has clothed you with the garments of salvation. We've got the gift of Holy Spirit. We've been clothed in righteousness. God doesn't see us after our old man nature, but God sees you, Jesus Christ, as he looks upon you like he looks upon his Son. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with jewels. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely powerful verse of scripture. And verse 11 says, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. So there's some just really wonderful records, and there's just two more records I want to look at. Psalms 105, and you can do this. You can have a little word study yourself and look at the word rejoice. It's all over the scriptures and it's all in the word of God. But, you know, in the light of living our best life now, if you want to live your best life now, then, you know, just have that attitude of thanks. I covered being thankful in my last teaching. And, you know, because we are thankful for the things that God has done in our life, we can really rejoice that of who we are now in Christ, everything that has been given to us, God has enabled us to be those ambassadors, that blessing. We are provided for, no matter what the circumstances say. You know, even if you're low on finances, if you're low on clothes, if you haven't got nowhere to live, when you turn to God, he is going to provide those things for you. He wants you to go to him with a confident expectation that he's going to stay true to his word when you believe it. He stays true to his word all the time. And when we believe it, that enforces God to bring those blessings to us. Psalms 105, verse 3 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the hearts of them rejoice that seek the Lord. See, if you seek God, you're going to find him. And God says, let your heart rejoice that seek the Lord. So, you know, you rejoice and joy that you can actually go to the one true God, knowing that he's going to answer you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to bring you deliverance. He's going to give you the answers that you need in this life so that you can stand upon him. And he wants you strong. God wants you strong. He wants you to walk before him. He wants you to be those ambassadors with that. But he also wants us practicing. Because we've got a love in our heart for God, and because we've got a love for others, then we want to share that good news. We want to help people. And God is the one that opens that door. He knows where we truly are in our hearts. He knows where you are. He knows your thoughts, your feelings, your desires. And God says, give me your desires and they'll fulfill them. All right? You seek after him. You put him first. You trust in him. He's going to bless you. And the way that we just keep thankful for what God has given us, and then we can really truly joy and rejoice in our God. And I want to finish off in Nehemiah chapter 8. And in verse 10 it says, then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, then you rejoice in your God. Don't Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at anything in this world which is temporal. What we see with our senses is temporal, but what we don't see, those promises, they're eternal. And we appropriate the promises by claiming them, by saying them, by acting upon the word of God, then they become manifested. It's the same with the love of God. You've got the love of God in you. And when your mind is lined up with the truth of the word and that spirit of God, then you're manifested. You're going to walk in great power when you just get your mind renewed to the truths of who you truly are. When we start walking and being led by the spirit of God, it's not all about knowledge, but it is about understanding. And it is about getting the image of who you truly are on the inside of you through the understanding of the scriptures. And God opens up the scriptures to us so we can truly see who we are. And so anyway, my friends, I just wanted to share this with you. Whatever's going on in your life right now, whatever your circumstances are, take your mind and your focus off them. If it's relationships, if your partner, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, or vice versa, if you're having difficult times, just take your eyes off them and put it on God and ask him to help you. Ask him to give you the solutions. If it's your finances, God will take care of you. He doesn't want you focused on that. You go to him, you cast your cares to him, you tell him what you need, and you thank him that he's provided it for you. And then you hold the word in your heart and you do what he puts in your heart. If it's broken relationships, God can restore broken relationships. We're in the business of reconciliation. You know, before we can reconcile anyone outside, we have to reconcile ourselves to God through our own fellowship in our heart and mind. We are reconciled to God in the sense that we got Holy Spirit, but are we reconciled in our minds and our thoughts and our speech and our actions? And when we get that lined up, that body, soul and spirit, man, walking together, you know, you got food for your body that keeps you strong. You got the word of God is the food for your mind, your heart, that mind. And then you've got speaking in tongues, which builds up that spirit of God in you. Get your focus on who you are. Be thankful and rejoice. And you've got so much to rejoice over that every day that you've got another day in front of you to look to God, to have fellowship with the Father, to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk out upon the word of God. And so I just wanted to encourage these things to you. So God bless you and have a great week.